This is Harv Aronson of the Total Sports Recall Podcast, and when I start my workday, it always begins with that morning shower. Normally, I use a liquid body wash, but recently I purchased a bar of Sterling Soap Company's handcrafted bath soap and decided to give their Deep Blue Sea handcrafted bath soap a try. Immediately, the aroma of Sterling's bath soap was obvious, and in using this soap, I felt refreshed, clean, energized, and Sterling's bath soap helped me step out of that shower with the momentum and eagerness to get my day rolling. If you want to get a refreshing wake-up call in the morning and get your busy day off to the right start, I highly recommend going to Sterling Soap Company's website and order one of their many varieties of bath soaps among other products they offer. Visit Sterling Soap Company at sterlingsoap.com. That's S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G soap.com.
Imagine this. You step inside Cooperstown for the first time. Everywhere you look, baseball history surrounds you. Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Jackie Robinson. Then your eyes drift to another plaque, Charles Chiefbender. A few steps later, Johnny Bench. Then, Willie Stargell. Three native athletes. Three Hall of Famers. But Hall of Fame careers aren't built in a single day. They're built one game, one season, one remarkable moment at a time. This week, we're going back to see some of those moments happen. Welcome to Indian All-Stars. I'm Bill Black, and every week we travel back to discover how Native athletes help shape the world of sports, because history isn't trapped behind museum glass. It comes alive. Indian All-Stars celebrates great Native American athletes from the past and the present, bringing these great All-Stars back into the spotlight for new generations. Now, let's look back and find out what happened. Here's what happened the week of July 26th through August 1st in Indian All-Stars history. On July 26th, Johnny Bench, Choctaw, is already one of baseball's brightest young stars when he steps into the batter's box against the St. Louis Cardinals. Waiting on the mound is Hall of Fame pitcher Steve Carlton. In the first inning, Bench crushes a three-run home run. An inning later, he connects again, this time for a two-run shot. Carlton still can't solve him. By the fifth inning, Bench steps in once more. Crack, home run number three. At the end of the afternoon, Bench has driven in seven runs as Cincinnati rolls to a 12-5 victory, putting together one of the greatest offensive performances of his remarkable career. Also, on July 26th, now it's 2020, Brandon Bailey, Chickasaw, gets the call for the Houston Astros against the Seattle Mariners. Making the most of his opportunity, Bailey works one inning, allows two hits, and keeps Seattle off the scoreboard. Sometimes a single scoreless inning doesn't make national headlines, but reaching the major leagues is the realization of every kid's dream. Our final stop on July 26th brings us to 2024. Madison Hammett, Navajo, and San Felipe helps Angel City Football Club earn a 2-0 victory over Bay Football Club. Late in the match, her perfectly timed pass becomes the game-winning assist. When the final whistle sounds, Hammond is named Player of the Match, another milestone for one of professional soccer's native trailblazers. Next up is July 27th. The opening bell rings. 23 seconds later, it's over. In 1918, Jack Dempsey, Cherokee, explodes across the ring and knocks out Fred Fulton at Harrison Park in Harrison, New Jersey. The devastating victory further establishes Dempsey as one of the most feared heavyweights in boxing, and the championship opportunity waiting just around the corner suddenly feels inevitable. But July 27th also marks the beginning of another legendary boxing journey. It's 1931. Henry Armstrong, Iroquois, climbs into the ring for the very first professional fight of his career. His debut ends the hard way. Al Lovino scores a knockout victory. For many fighters, a loss like that might end the dream before it truly begins. For Henry Armstrong, it's simply the first page of an extraordinary story. By July 27th of 1937, Armstrong has become one of boxing's rising stars. Facing former world champion Benny Bass, he delivers a dominant performance before ending the fight with a knockout 2 minutes and 35 seconds into the fourth round. The victory becomes another important step forward in one of the greatest careers boxing has ever seen. Then, in 1946, Rudy York Cherokee puts on a power display that baseball fans have rarely witnessed. With the bases loaded, he launches a grand slam. Later in the game, once again the bases are loaded, York does it again, a second grand slam. The New York Times calls it an old-fashioned slugging bee as the Boston Red Sox pound the St. Louis Browns 13-6. York becomes only the second player in Major League history to hit two grand slams in the same game. As July 27th continues, it's 1953. Charles Chief Bender, Ojibwe, officially joins baseball immortality as he is inducted into the National Baseball Hall of Fame. The brilliant pitcher who helped build Connie Mack's Philadelphia Athletics dynasty finally receives the game's highest honor, a bronze plaque in Cooperstown. Before July 27th comes to a close, it's 1983. Terry Felix of the Chehalis First Nation scores the first professional goal of his career, helping the Vancouver Whitecaps defeat Team America 2-0. It's another reminder that Native athletes continue making history on every field of play. Let's move on to July 28th. Often, heavyweight boxing is a game of big knockouts. Sometimes, it's a game of survival. It's 1994. Tommy Morrison, Ponca, and Otto squares off with Ross Purity in a scheduled 10-round heavyweight bout. Morrison is known for explosive punching power. Purity refuses to go away. Round after round, both men battle through the full 10 rounds until the judges declare the contest a draw. While neither fighter leaves with a victory, the bout reminds boxing fans that not every memorable night ends with someone's hand raised. Sometimes, simply going the distance tells its own story. Our final stop on July 28th brings us to 2020, when Ethan Bear, Cree of the Ochewapis Nation, skates onto the ice. Fans notice something different. Across the back of his Edmonton Oilers jersey, his name appears in Cree syllabics. It's a simple change, just a name. Yet for countless Indigenous hockey fans, it means far more. One of their own is proudly carrying his language onto the biggest stage in professional hockey. A powerful reminder that culture and sport can skate side by side. Moving on to July 29th. It's 1907. Most runners would think twice before racing a relay team alone. In a 5-mile race, Tom Longboat, the legendary Onondaga long-distance runner, takes on three relay runners who can stay fresh by passing the effort from one teammate to the next. Longboat has no one to relieve him. Every stride is his alone. Mile after mile, he refuses to fade. When he crosses the finish line first, he hasn't simply beaten the relay team, he has also broken the Canadian record for the 5-mile distance. It's another remarkable performance from the man who is quickly becoming one of the greatest distance runners in the world. Then, in 1933, Henry Armstrong, Iroquois, is still climbing the professional boxing ladder. Facing Benny Pels in a 4-round bout, Armstrong boxes his way to a victory on points. It isn't one of the spectacular knockouts that will later define his career, but every win adds another brick to the foundation of a future champion. Before July 29th comes to a close, it's 1945. Bob Johnson, Cherokee, enjoys one of the finest games of his outstanding Major League career. He goes 4-for-4. Two of those hits are doubles. Boston defeats Washington 8-4. Hidden inside that remarkable afternoon is another milestone. Bob Johnson has career hit number 2,000. As July 30th arrives, it's 1934. Joe Louis, Cherokee, steps into the ring against Larry Udell. Louis wastes little time taking control of the fight. The pressure builds until the referee steps in during the second round, awarding Louis a technical knockout victory. Another impressive win, another step in the rise of a young heavyweight who is rapidly becoming one of boxing's most dangerous fighters. Later on, July 30th, it's 2004. A lifelong dream comes true for TJ Oshie Ojibwe. At the National Hockey League draft, the St. Louis Blues select Oshie with the 24th overall pick. For every young hockey player, hearing your name called is unforgettable. This is the beginning of a standout NHL career as a clutch, hard-nosed forward, winning the 2018 Stanley Cup with the Washington Capitals and becoming an American hockey icon after his unforgettable shootout heroics at the 2014 Winter Olympics. The next year, on July 30th, it's 2005. Another future hockey star hears his name announced. Carey Price Dacko is selected in the first round of the National Hockey League draft by the Montreal Canadiens. The Canadiens believe they have found their goaltender of the future. Time and Price's exceptional play proves them right. Next up is July 31st. It's 1931, just 4 days after suffering a knockout loss in his professional debut, Henry Armstrong Iroquois climbs back into the ring. This time the outcome is different. After 6 rounds, Armstrong earns a decision over Sammy Burns. It's the first professional victory of a career that will eventually rank among boxing's greatest. Let's jump forward to 1966. Chuck Norris, Cherokee, faces Skipper Mullins at Ed Parker's Internationals in Long Beach, California, the most prestigious karate tournament in the United States at the time. When the match is over, Norris has defeated Mullins to capture the middleweight title in karate. It is another milestone in the remarkable competitive career that establishes him as one of America's premier martial artists. Then, in 1988, Willie Stargell, Seminole, receives baseball's highest honor. He is inducted into the National Baseball Hall of Fame. The powerful slugger known as Pops takes his place among the game's immortals, joining fellow native great Charles Chief Bender in Cooperstown. As July 31st comes to a close, it's 2021. Nielsen Paulus Oneida charges toward the finish of the 230-kilometer Clásica San Sebastián, the most important one-day cycling race in the Basque Country and in Spain. In a dramatic sprint, he edges Matej Mohoric and Mikel Honoré by half a wheel length. The thrilling victory is the first professional win of Paulus's cycling career. Now, we arrive at August 1st. It's 1917. Jack Dempsey, Cherokee, gets another chance to face Al Norton. Their previous meeting had ended in a draw. This time, Dempsey leaves no doubt. He stops Norton with a first-round knockout in Emeryville, California, earning decisive revenge and continuing his climb toward the heavyweight championship. Later, in 1951, Joe Louis returns to the ring. Facing Cesar Brion, Louis boxes his way through 10 rounds and earns a unanimous decision victory. It is another successful chapter in the extraordinary career of one of boxing's greatest champions. Next up, in 1979, Marvin Kamel, Salish, and Kootenai squares off against McAfoley. Kamel quickly takes command of the bout. Just 1 minute and 52 seconds into the second round, the referee stops the fight, giving Kamel a technical knockout victory. And finally, it's 1981. Jim Plunkett, Cherokee, appears on the cover of Sport magazine. For native sports fans across the country, seeing one of their own featured on the cover of a national sports publication is another reminder that native athletes continue to leave their mark at the highest levels of competition. If you enjoyed today's look back, I invite you to visit IndianAllStars.com, where you'll find more athlete stories, blog articles, videos, podcast episodes, and exclusive merchandise celebrating great Native American athletes from the past and the present. I hope you'll join me again next week as we bring more great Native athletes back into the spotlight. Until then, this is Indian All Stars.
Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, aka the Football History Dude, and I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, We're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know, that can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you got to do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you got to do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.